We extend Christian greetings to each one. I can say that I was truly blessed being here so far today. Blessed with noticing the saying on the board, it's a blessing that God understands us. Because he understands us, he has given us his word. And we are so blessed with that. Today, for a message, I thought I would speak about a good foundation. A good foundation is something that is extremely important in the day that we're living in, of where are we building our lives. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, Paul says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." You might think, why is it so important where we build or how we build? I would like to read a few verses in Revelations. Because where you will spend eternity hangs in the balance. We say quite often that we can't be saved by our works. A man wiser than me had this to say: our works can't save us, but neither will we be saved without them. I'd like to read in Revelations chapter 20, verse 12 to 15. The Apostle John was in the Spirit, and he had seen quite a few things, and this is a continuation. Revelations chapter 20, verse 12 says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." What an awful place. The rest of our life stretches out before us from this day forward. We don't know how long or how far. For some of us, it might be fairly short. For others, longer. The Apostle Paul also mentions in Corinthians how we build, that some people build with precious stones, gold, silver. Other people build with wood, hay, and stubble. We do good to sometimes self-examine and just ask ourselves, what are we building with? I would like to turn to Matthew chapter 7. There is a song that the children sing a lot of times, and it's, "The wise man builds his house upon the rock. The foolish man builds his house upon the sand." And a lot of times when we sing that song, we think about building a house. And we don't really spend as much time thinking about the foundation there as maybe we should. I would like to talk about that later in the message here. For now, I would like to read that. Matthew 7, verse 24 through 27 says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him. These sayings that Jesus is talking about, Jesus had been out about healing many people, and big, great multitudes followed after him. And then it says in Matthew chapter 4 that he went up on a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came to him. And then he preached to them. And he preached to them the message of Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And if you go into chapter 8, it says that when he came down off of the mountain, that great multitudes followed after him again. Kind of makes me wonder how many people were really with him. But he was referring to this message, and Matthew records this. And for the sake of time, I would like to go through Matthew 5, 6, and 7. For the sake of time, I probably won't read it all. Read here and there. My desire is that the Holy Spirit of God will minister to your hearts. I would really encourage each one of you in your personal devotion life, read these chapters. Study them. They are very deep. And in my own studies, I feel like I've not been able to go very deep. But you can go deeper if you allow the Holy Spirit of God to speak to your heart. He can minister to the needs that you have. Looking at foundation, what is foundational in the Christian life? When John the Baptist was here, he preached that we should repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I believe repentance is something that is very important, in that we have that in the foundation of our lives that we are building. Jesus said that you must be born again in John chapter 3. He also says, according to John 10, that he is the door, and that if we come in through him, by him, through the door, we will be saved. Conviction, repentance, being born again, coming in through the door, this all needs to happen to us in order for us to have Jesus as our foundation on which to build our lives. The heart, the human heart, is like the seat of our emotions. And a lot of decisions, when you accept something in your heart, it becomes a part of you. And I would like to encourage us, as we go through these three chapters here, this message that Jesus preached up on the mountain to his disciples. Take these teachings and put them into your heart and make them be a part of you. Here not so long ago, we have had an experience where some of our extended family was put under quite a bit of pressure for not attending a wedding where their son was getting married to a divorced woman. And, you know, would you go to an invite like that, give your support? How do people get there? In the day and age that we're living in, it's so important that we adhere to the teachings and that we have our lives build on the rock, Jesus Christ, and not on sand. So as we go through here, let's make sure that these teachings, we take them into our heart and make them be a part of us. Looking at Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said that we are blessed if we are poor in spirit. If we mourn, we'll be comforted. We'll be blessed if we are meek. And if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we'll be filled. These characteristics, it is important that we make them a part of us. We are blessed if we are merciful, if we are pure in heart, if we're peacemakers. He says in verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world. I'd like to drop down to verse 24. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. I know we hear these verses sometimes when we have preparatory services. But I would like to say this, that when we come to God in prayer, and you know in your heart that your brother or your sister has something against you, is holding you for something, don't go on like that. Be a peacemaker. Work to be reconciled. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 19 says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. The bars of a castle is like something that is so tough, you could possibly get them torn loose, but it maybe takes more effort than you want to put in. When you know that a brother is offended at you, do what you can to make that right. I'd like to read a few verses starting in verse 27. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. Very clear and very plain. Stepping over to verse 38, down through the end. I don't believe I'll take time to read that, but let us love our enemies. Bless them that curse you. Those are foundational teachings that Jesus Christ gave that is very important that we have that in our heart. Be a second miler. Be willing to go the second mile. Drop down to Matthew chapter 6. If we look at the first 8 verses here, I would just like to say, let's not seek or allow feelings of desire for self-exaltation to have any place in our hearts. Do not allow feelings or desire for self-exaltation to have any place in your heart. Looking at the Lord's Prayer. Break in here by verse 10. It says, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. When we pray to God, we like to have him on call for us 24/7. I would like to say, let's make sure we're on call for him 24/7. Can we do that? Are our schedules and our business too important? Let's make sure that we're on call for him 24/7. Verse 13, it says, we pray, lead us not into temptation. And Jesus is telling us how to pray this. Jesus knows how strong the pull of the flesh is, and how that we of our own strength are not able to withstand. So we do good when we pray to God, lead us not into temptation. Let's not try to see how close we can come to it. Stay away. If you have temptations that are too strong for you to overcome, God helping you, it might do us good to go back and read Matthew 5, 29 and 30, where it says we're better off to cut a limb off than to have that destroyed or taken from us than to have our whole body go to hellfire. If we look at Matthew 6, verse 12 to 15, also here in the Lord's Prayer and following, I would just like to say this. This is also a very important thing for us to have in our heart, is that we are forgiving, that we are merciful, that we forgive people when they sin against us. Looking at verse 16 through 18, let's have a personal life that is devoted to God. That needs to be a desire that is in our heart, and it's a part of us. A life that is devoted to God. And then looking at verse 19 through 34 of chapter 6 here, I would like to say this. Let's not allow in our hearts a desire or love for money and assets or the things of this world. Those are things that erode away on the foundation. Maybe I'll say this later. Getting ahead of myself there. Let's remember to love people and use money. Not allow ourselves to come to the place where we love money and use people. Another very important aspect is that we remember to trust God. The body that he has given you to live in actually belongs to him. Let's remember that. And some of these thoughts, it's important that we take those and we accept them into our hearts. Make them a part of us. Looking at Matthew chapter 7, the first five verses here, let's not be judgmental of each other, overly critical. Those things tend to break down or tear down relationships. Looking at verse 6, I'd like to read that. Jesus talking here. He says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. I don't believe Jesus is talking about actual pigs or actual dogs, but I think he's talking about people that have those characteristics. A hog is very self-centered and selfish. And a dog is quick to bite. And he is telling us to not be careless, but to be careful with things that are holy. Brother Robert Martin shared about dreams. When you have personal experiences that are very special to you, maybe experiences that you've had with God, and they reside in a special place in your heart, or Bible doctrine that you have in your heart that is special to you, be careful with that. There's a reason why you don't share some of those things with just anyone. Verse 7 to 12 talks about asking and receiving and giving. I would just like to say that when we study that part of the scriptures, it's not about what we can get, but it's about what we can give. God wants us to be a giving people. In the last part here of chapter 7, I would like to read here, breaking in verse 13. Read down through verse 23. It says, "Here enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Here it's talking about two different ways. And we do good to self-examine, and which way are we on? Continue reading here. It's about two different sets of people. "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." And then we come here where Jesus talks again about he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, or he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. Talks about two different people here. Jesus does not talk much here about the way these houses are built. We're looking here at two houses that were built. One was built by a wise man, another by a foolish man. Houses might have been close to identical, but it was where they were built on, what the foundation was under those houses. What Jesus said was very important. And as we look at building our house, parents should pray for their children before they are born. They should try to establish good Christian values in them while they are very young through teaching and training. Children are born, all born with a sin nature, to be selfish, go the easiest way, lie, cheat, steal, be dishonest, to be lazy, stretch the truth when telling a story, being a false witness, disobedient, disrespectful. Children, I would just like to say this. When you allow those character traits to reside in your heart and it's not dealt with as you grow up, which group of people do you expect to be a part of when Jesus comes again? Christian parents will try to eradicate these character traits out of their children. And children, you can do much in helping your parents with this, because if you just think, what kind of person do you want to grow up to be? If you allow those character traits to be in your heart, it will become a part of you. It's who you're going to be. If you allow that to stay there, you can help your parents so much. If you have lied, if you have cheated, if you have disobeyed, or if you have been deceptive. Trust me when I say this, if you confess those faults to your parents, if you have done that, you are going to be amazed how much better you would feel. And that would create within your parents a deeper love, a deeper trust. They would be inclined to give you more freedom. And it would do so much to enhance your relationship with your mom and dad if you help them with that. I would like to look at the other side. If you establish in your heart the character traits of integrity, being honest, always truthful, to be a good witness, a true witness, be loving, be merciful, be helpful, esteem others, be a peacemaker. And as you grow older, make friends with others who share these same values, especially when you seek a life companion. Create a home where when people visit, they come away feeling spiritually refreshed. That's the kind of home I want. In our life, Jesus here talks about the rain, the floods, and the wind. In life, those things will come. It comes to both houses. Talking about floods, when Pauline and I were in North Carolina for the month of March, this one house where we helped work in, Pauline and I were there doing some work and looked out the window there, and there was a nice river flowing right in the backyard. It was probably as close to the house as from here to the back wall here. Beautiful river. I thought, man, that would be so nice to have that in my backyard. And then I happened to think, that river is nice as long as it stays in its place. But these people experienced a flood, and that river did not stay in its place. It came up into the house. It was not a beautiful river then to those people. And Jesus here is talking about life. So if I was to ask you, what does the rain stand for? What are the floods? What is the wind? In marriage, it has been said that one of the things that creates probably the most stress and strife in marriage relationships has to do with finances or how we spend our money, what we spend our money on. I mentioned earlier that I don't feel like I went very deep, and I don't know if this is what Jesus had in mind when he said this, but what I chose to put in there as the rain, is that the cost of living? Investments that need to be paid back? Rain? We look at the floods. Could that be when we live beyond our means? And we create bills and debts that we don't have no money to pay them. I know I have done that. Sometimes we spent money on things we wanted instead of sticking with the things that we just needed. And then when we look at the bills that come and the amount of money we have, it's just not enough there. Those things happen to both houses. The wind. That may be rumors or false reports or false doctrine. Could be disagreements that we have. Those things also happen to both houses. But how we relate in both houses is so different from each other. When these things happen, the house on the rock will try to learn from mistakes, will try to take responsibility for his actions. We'll work to bring healing to relationships, resolve differences, pay what is owed. The house on the sand generally just keeps on forging ahead till it crashes. Is more concerned about how I feel about a situation than about how the other person feels. In each house, each one relates or doesn't relate because of what is in the heart. What you put in your heart and allow to reside there, it's a part of you, it's who you are. I've mentioned before that when you go to town, there's so much to see, so much temptation. Your ears and your eyes are continually taking things in, and it meets with the heart. And in your heart, you're continually accepting or rejecting things. You can't help sometimes what you see and what you hear, but you can help, and you are responsible what you take into your heart. May what we take in our heart be sound doctrine. I would like to ask us as the church, let's all turn to Psalms chapter 1. I would like for us to stand up and read this psalm together. Psalms chapter 1, let's all stand. Read this whole psalm together, 6 verses. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Thank you for that. You may be seated. I'd like to turn over to read a few verses out of Proverbs chapter 4. It says here in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 19, "The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." And in verse 23, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And then in verse 18, it says, "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." May we all be on the path of the just. With these thoughts, let's kneel for a word of prayer.